I was invited to a wedding at the Plaza. I could not be more excited. The color scheme is black and gold, so I can get a long black dress and I know that I will wear that again. But if maybe you're given a color scheme like desert neutrals or blue florals, you might not be wearing them as often, so it feels a little bit tougher on the wallet to be like, okay, here's $275 for a dress. And I don't know if I'm ever going to wear it again. Birdie Gray is about to be your new favorite. They believe that everyone in a wedding should be able to look and feel great without breaking the bank. And weddings are expensive, not just if you're the bride or a bridesmaid, but even a guest. So that's why all of their bridesmaid dresses start at just $99. You can pick a color and then they have every silhouette. You can do off the shoulder. You can do a little tank top. You can do, just take a look. They also have a stunning collection of budget-friendly little white dresses, all under $150. They have something for all bridal events, from engagement photos to bachelorette, even the honeymoon. Best of all, Birdie Gray offers free fabric color swatches to nail the perfect bridesmaid dress look for the crew. And just for my listeners, the first 5 swatches are free. Visit www.birdiegray.com now to get your first 5 swatches free with code LEXI. That's BIRDYGREY.com and find your perfect palette. Hello, hello, everybody. I'm Lexi Lombard, your host of the At Lexi podcast, and thanks for tuning in. I've had so many experiences since the last episode, which was 2 weeks ago. I have been all over to several different states. I've met a handful of new people. It is wild how your life can just change in such a short amount of time. If you listened to my most recent episode, I had talked about how I was going on a road trip with one of my best friends. So she's an artist, Camille Jansen, spelled like Camille. She was opening up for a band called Babe Rainbow. They're this psychedelic, hippie, Australian band, just like 4 hot blondes. They live in Byron Bay with their families and their beautiful blonde children. It's amazing. And Kimmy was going to fly, or was considering flying, to these different shows that were in Bellingham, Washington, and Portland, Oregon. Or we could make a fun trip out of it and we could drive. So Hyundai gave us a Santa Cruz, which is a pickup truck. It's technically an adventure sport vehicle or something like that, but it looks like a pickup truck / spaceship, which I have to go back and say how important and fun that was on a personal level, but I'll get to that later. I have to just say it out loud. Reminder, Santa Cruz. We drove up. We left bright and early from Los Angeles. We had all these different instruments in the back. We had a keytar, which is a keyboard guitar. We had cymbals. We had a bass. We had another electric guitar. The band was on the run. We drove 14 hours the first day. It was pretty gnarly. We were going as hard as we could, and we didn't have any pressure on ourselves. We're like, if we only make it 8 hours, that's fine. But after a coffee, a yerba mate, and then a 6 p.m. Celsius, I was itching myself. We were both, I think Camille maybe had 4 or 5 yerba mates. It was unlike anything I've ever seen out of her or myself before. I may have actually had a 4th caffeinated beverage, but I just remember specifically after the Celsius, we were getting towards Ashland or Eugene or what was it called? Redding, Glen? God, I only know. We went into this tiny little town in Oregon. Where do I even begin with this? There's too many stories from this road trip and I'm trying to filter through in real time, which ones are worth it. I'm like, should I tell you about Dustin at the gas station, how we loved him? He scared the shit out of me because I'm already cracked out on Celsius and every other caffeinated beverage I've had throughout the day, to the point where I'm like jumping up and down. For instance, like after we went to this gas station, we went to a drive-thru, and when we parked, we were just running around. I ate my Taco Bell taco pacing, I was on fire. So we pull into this gas station. It's dark. This man comes up, and I am just thinking from my Los Angeles and my New York experiences, okay, this guy just wants money. No, no, you don't pump your own gas in Oregon. It's lovely. I really got used to it, and I miss it. So he came, we chatted with him. We love Dustin. Shout out. And kept on going until we made it to a motel. So first day of the road trip was just driving. The next day, we went from whatever town we were in. I think it was Ashland. I'm not positive. Somewhere in Oregon. Then we made it to Portland. We went to this cathedral that was outside with the tallest trees I'd seen in years. And there were leaves that were red and orange and yellow, and it was so beautiful. And the air, the air in the Pacific Northwest is so healthy. My smoggy Los Angeles lungs needed it. It was beautiful. And so we went around and looked at the nature, saw the different, I don't know what you would call it, because I think it was called the Grotto. And there was an inside church as well as an outdoor church where you could have, I don't know, you could leave your lit candle. Religion has been something, specifically church, has been circling my mind for the last few months. Just to go back with fresh adult eyes and see what it's like now. I was raised Episcopalian. I was raised in the Episcopal Church, loosely, you know. We weren't super involved, but I was confirmed. And it was never a major theme in my life, and throughout angsty adolescence, rejected it greatly and would love to revisit it because some churches are so beautiful. They really, really are. I'd like to tap into, honestly, a synagogue. There's a really beautiful, I don't know, there's so many things. I have so much to talk about. This is what happens. You take 2 weeks off and I'm like, yeah. We get to Portland. We get to the Airbnb. This is when the band joins us because up until this point, it's just been me and Camille. But Camille doesn't just go on stage solo. She has four people in her band. So she got these guys to come that she found, and I love them all. Okay, we have our guitarist, Adrian, our bassist, Ari, Dan on the keys, and Martin on the drums. And I love these boys so much. I have been wanting more male energy, just platonic guy friends. I always had a really good mix of both guy friends and girlfriends growing up. And within the industry that I've taken, it's heavily female. It's also work from home. I went to an art and design school. I've just been with the girls and gays for most of my adult life. And I just miss guys. I love guys. Not even speaking romantically. I just love guys. And it was really fun to hang out with them. And they're all so talented. So I watched their show in Portland, met up with an old friend of mine. She came to the show as well, and it was great to see them on stage. It was really fun. I was quote unquote tour manager. That was the joke. But then by the second show, I was collecting money at the venue, and the lead singer of Babe Rainbow was like, okay, so do we think we can get Camille at this festival and this festival? And I was like, why don't we talk in the morning? I'm like, Camille, when did I become your tour manager? Because now I'm strategizing for you and we're going to figure this out. So Portland was awesome. We left the next morning and drove up to Bellingham, which is tippy top of Washington. I'd never been to Washington State before. I'd been to Oregon once. 10 out of 10, cannot recommend these places enough. They are beautiful, especially the coastline, because you have this gorgeous forestry, these enormous trees. I made a vlog. You should go watch it. I think it's just called My Road Trip with Camille. There are certain parts when we first get to Portland where there's this one clip in particular where I'm showing the trees and it just keeps going. And I'm like, yeah, I bet you didn't think it would keep going, but it does. They were so tall. And so you have this gorgeous forestry, but then when you get to the coast, you have cliffs overlooking the ocean. It's unlike anything I've ever seen before. God lives in the Pacific Northwest. I've never been so sure of something. It was breathtaking. So we made it to Wellington, stopped in Seattle, had Dick's. A little overrated, or maybe that was just my burger. Seems like an iconic burger place in Seattle. My burger tasted kind of old, honestly. Not that great. But I'd be willing to try a second time. I was eating so much fast food that truthfully I was like, yeah, whatever. Another meal, another burger. We get to Bellingham. We're staying at a really, really nice motel that it looks like, it smells horrible in there. We all just had different smells in our room. Ari and Martin, when they turned on their AC unit, it smelled like it was burning. Ours just smelled moldy. There was black mold in our bathtub. I wanted to sleep with my shoes on. Whatever, the motel did the job. We just needed a place to sleep, and it worked. We go to the venue, sound check, love the babes. We've got Angus on vocals. We have Elliot on the bass. We have Jack on the guitar, and we have Miles on the drums. And I love these men. Love them. And I watched them perform, and at the show, Kimmy went on, I vlogged it, and then when Babe Rainbow came on, I was dancing, and Elliot kept, like, motioning to me, he's like, come up, and I didn't actually think he was being serious, and then a girl in the audience was like, they're asking to come up there. Guys, I go on stage. I went on stage, and I danced. I danced with Kimmy because she was performing a song with them, and I loved it. It was so much fun. It was one of those moments that I know is going to be a core memory when Angus is on the mic and he's like, give it up for the tour manager, Lexi! Lexi, go Lexi! Go Lexi! I was truly living my best life. It was so much fun. It was so much fun. But in between soundcheck and the show, we went to an antique store and Angus got maracas and he brought them on stage, and I don't know, they're just so cool. Everybody is so cool. Everyone was so fun. I got a pack of dominoes. Kimmy got a cowboy made out of marble or something. I think it's a bookend. And she got some cool slippers. None of this is important. It was a really heartwarming trip. After that, the band, Kimmy's band and I, we went on a walk. We looked at the moon. Went back to the sweet, sweet Days Inn in Bellingham. And then in the morning, we had to drive back to Seattle and drop off the boys. And it was sad. It's crazy how I feel like I bonded with them so much in just 2 short days. And then Kimmy and I were back to just each other. And we decided to take the coastal route because you can take the 5 all the way from, I think, Mexico to Canada. And there's some pretty spots, do not get me wrong. When you're driving through Mount Shasta in Northern California, it's beautiful, but there is a lot of the 5 that is so boring. And if we had the time, why would we not take the coastal route? So we did for Oregon, and we drove through Astoria and Cannon Beach. And I mean, wow. If you have the opportunity, please say yes. Truly, if you are offered an adventure, say yes. I live for a new experience. I live to be around a bunch of people that I've never met and then leave with these new friendships and relationships. It is one of my favorite experiences on this life. I love expansive experiences. And if you are given the opportunity, no matter how random it may seem, say yes. You know, your friend's like, hey, can we go to this farm on Saturday? I really want to pet a cow. Go pet the cow. Your other friend says, I want to go to a sunflower field in New Jersey. Your other friend says, I want you to come with me to Charlie XCX's boiler room. Say yes to these things, guys. You want your life to be as rich as possible. And this road trip was absolutely enriching. It was great. And the Santa Cruz was so fun. It was so special because in August, I went on a trip with Hyundai to Los Olivos, which is right outside Santa Barbara. And it was really great. I met the team, and one of the excursions we had was an off-roading one where you got to take the Santa Cruz up a mountain and kind of off-road. I mean, it was light because it was a brand trip. Like, I'm from Virginia where, you know, you get the guys and they're like, let's go mudding. It was not that. But the point is, I was driving the Santa Cruz and I loved it. And there was another couple girls that were also driving a Santa Cruz behind us. And when we get to the lookout, there's just 2 Santa Cruz trucks, adventure vehicles, overlooking all of the mountains. And I took a photo and I sent it to Kimmy and I said, this could be us, because it felt so us. The adventure, the type of car, everything about it, seeing that there was two of them and we love a road trip. And I sent it to her and she's like, oh, absolutely. And the fact that her and I, 2 months later, got to drive one on an actual road trip together was so special. And it was so fun. And I fucking love the Santa Cruz. It really was a bonding experience. I also drive a 2010, so I'm not used to having a car with all the bells and whistles. So having different sensors, I don't even have a backup camera. So all of that was very exciting. And then there was just so many random little storage. The point is, it was so much fun. So much fun. Am I boring you? Because sometimes if I can tell a story, but this is a whole experience and there are stories within it. And I haven't really fleshed out the road trip yet. The road trip was just a joyful, heartwarming, fun experience. And then the next weekend, I'm off to Austin, Texas. Claudia and I go to F1, Formula One, with Levi's. And talk about a night and day travel experience. I went from driving 14 hours on the road, sleeping in random motels. I didn't even really finish out the road trip. Then Camille, once we were on our own, we just did the scenic route. There was a guy that I met at the first show, and he ended up being near us during sunset. And so we quickly drove by, said hi, watched the sunset while he surfed, kept driving as long as we could until eventually we had to stop and slept in another motel, woke up, kept driving until we got home. But it was so much time sitting in the car, cheap motels, whereas Levi's sent a black car to my house to take me to the airport. I was flown first class to Austin, Texas. A car with a driver with my name on a piece of paper when I arrived to baggage claim takes me to the hotel. I'm two floors from the top floor with a corner suite overlooking the river at the Line Hotel. The room was the size of my apartment. The closet in the hotel room was filled with clothes to wear. The table in the hotel had a basket of all these different treats. And the bed was enormous and so clean. It was so glamorous. The trip was because Levi's did a collection with McLaren, which is one of the Formula One teams. So we got to go to the McLaren suite. We had a 5-star experience. We had our own private viewing area. There was food being given out to us. I was having lobster. Endless champagne was being passed out. Diet Cokes and beer and anything that you could imagine. We were getting talks with the different drivers. So we got to see Lando give a talk. And then also one of the reserve drivers and some iconic drivers from the past. If you're a Formula One fan, you would have lived for this. I love an adventure, you know? Formula One is something I've never gotten to experience before, and my, did I have such a good weekend, and it was so much fun hanging out with Claudia in a whole different space. Like, it's so nice when, you know, and like, you and your friend are just in such a routine, because also Claudia and I have been friends forever. When we were 18, we were hanging out with the same friend group, and then our individual relationship stayed, but our friend groups changed over time because I moved to New York. So now in LA, she has her little day-to-day friend group. I have my little day-to-day friend group. So actually just getting a whole weekend of just one-on-one time was so nice, and I loved it. It was so much fun. I love her. And then Salem and her friend Mariah were there, Salem Mitchell. They were so much fun. I feel like most of the trip was spent with me, Claudia, Salem, and Mariah. Love them. Mariah's fucking funny. And Salem is probably one of the most well-mannered, polite girls I've ever met in my life. Incredible. I was in awe the entire time. And then when I get back, it's the beginning of the 2-week Halloween that Los Angeles likes to experience. I've never seen a city care about Halloween the way that Los Angeles does. I love Halloween. Do not get me wrong. I think it's so much fun to dress up. I love a costume. Love a costume party. However, Los Angeles says, oh, Halloween's on a Thursday? Okay, you're going to celebrate Thursday, Friday, Saturday, not only the week of Halloween, but also the week before, the same thing. I went to a murder mystery dinner party, which was so much fun. Okay, I did one years ago, and it's kind of hazy. I remember liking it, but I don't remember it very much. And then my sweet cousin Morgan wanted to do one with her friends in Mechanicsburg, PA, so We tried to do it. I was the one that got murdered. And no one would pay attention. No one was into it. And they just wanted to drink and chat. And Morgan's like, I put this whole thing together. So I told Morgan, I said, I was invited to a murder mystery dinner party. Like, they're going to do it right. It was at Petit Hermitage, which is the most Halloween-esque hotel that they could have had it at. I could not think of a better location to have a murder mystery party. It was awesome. This brand Outkast was doing it. So they sent us clothes. And I'm in this sexy little leather outfit that came in handy for my Halloween costume over the weekend. And we're all given little folders of information. They take a photo of us. We get a Polaroid. We're divided into groups. I think there were four groups. The groundskeeper of the hotel, and we had a gambling problem. Then there was the people in room 169, and they had a Coke issue or something. So they had a little bag of Coke, and we had cards, and someone else had a condom, and it was really fun. We walked into this hotel room where the crime scene was, and there was blood all over the bathtub and a bottle of Don Julio, and there was lines of powder and bills and pills of Adderall everywhere. It was so fun. There were hired actors that were acting out the scene of, my wife gave you $100,000 and you were in love with her and you tried to sleep with her after I was drugged. It was so dramatic and so fabulous. And a great way to kick off the Halloween season. I need to get some decorations. I want to get some funny looking gourds and pumpkins. But it's still bright and sunny here, so it feels a little nonsensical. But at night, you can't really tell. At night, it's so Halloween. And then over the weekend, there was a Chrome Hearts party. And guys, as I said, Los Angeles takes Halloween very, very, very seriously. So this party felt like Halloween town. Everyone's dressed up. There are tombstones and grass and actors with chainmail on their heads, and even the bartenders have like horns sticking out of them or prosthetics that make their forehead really big. It was one of the most fun Halloween parties I've ever been to because it was so themed. I felt like there was movie magic everywhere. I loved it. Jello shots and syringes being poured out. There was like cigarettes and lighters being handed on trays, and there was a beer and wine car trunk, and there was food. It was so fun. It was so fun. There was a dance floor, so many different fun cocktails. They were giving us glass cocktails, which seemed a little maybe dangerous, but glamorous. That was really fun. Although one of my friends did accidentally do something that she shouldn't have and accidentally drugged herself, which I've done. And I think for the Patreon story, I'm going to tell the time of me accidentally drugging myself. It was the most horrifying experience I've had in my adulthood. I've never felt so stupid in my life. And that is the perfect story for the Patreon because there are some lessons to be learned. I will link my Patreon in the show notes. That's where I'll do extended episodes or additional mini episodes that you can listen to. So if you want to hear the time that I was nearly down for the count for 48 hours and on a date, no less, on a first date, no less. Yeah, imagine that. You're on a first date with someone and then all of a sudden you're throwing up with your head in a bush. Horrifying. On a lighter note, have any of y'all seen Coco, the Disney movie? I watched that during my hangover and guys, it wrecked me. It wrecked me. One of my best friends, Kaylee from back home, I'd been meaning to call her. We were so overdue for a catch up. So picture, we probably hadn't talked in like, I don't know, 2 months in a FaceTime way. Like obviously, you know, sending little memes and texting, but that's the first time I've seen her in months. And I'm just crying. I'm like, Kaylee, Coco wrecked me. Coco wrecked me. It's the sweetest story. It's not sad. It's just heartwarming. It's touching, which is why I cried. Oh, this boy who lives in Mexico and is born to play music, belongs to a family that refuses to allow him to play music because his great-grandmother or great-great-grandmother married a musician who left the family and destroyed her and she never forgave him and swore off music. And so the entire family tree swore off music. And the little boy is just like, I love music. I just want to play the guitar. You have to watch it. You have to watch it. So then I watched it. And then I went to the movies with two of my friends and saw We Live in Time, which I thought was just a rom-com. No one told me it was a cancer story. So I was already wrecked from Coco, and then I had to go in and sit through a cancer story. I was like, guys, this is a lot. I'm already feeling raw and tender. But it was a fun knee. Well, it was a nice movie. It was a really well done movie. And Andrew Garfield and Florence Pugh did an amazing job. Ugh, Andrew Garfield's character, Tobias. My heart. I love him. But I love her. I love them both. So that's a little media consumption. I've been so heavy in my consumption lately. I've been reading a ton. I've been watching a ton. I've been listening to podcasts and audiobooks and reading books and reading and doing the artist's way and watching YouTube and watching movies and going to movies. I'm so heavy in my consumption and I cannot wait to switch to creation. I think I've gone too far in one direction. And I do think that generally as humans, we oscillate between consumption and creation, and it's good to have a nice balance. And what actually made me aware of it was in the week 5 chapter of The Artist's Way, which is this 12-week creativity program that I'm doing. It's a book that you can get. I love it. Week 5 was discussing taking a week off from reading. And I thought, what do you mean not reading for a week? Reading is so good for you. But just, you don't realize how much information you're taking in all the time. And I do feel that I'm on or in information overload. And I already feel more relieved recording this podcast because it feels like a release. For better or for worse, this is my diary. This absolutely is. I do have a diary of my own where I work out more intimate problems, but as for the nature of this podcast, I have had meetings where it could be this production with guests and interviews, but that's a different show. The nature of this show is the diary, and that's why I love it. And I think I've been stubborn to change it because I love this for what it is. And I would not be opposed to having a second show somewhere, but I love this. This is so special to me. So having it heavy in my consumption, but feeling really good at least for recording this episode. And then I do have a vlog for Levi's, or I should call it F1, or my weekend with Claudia. I don't know. That's coming up next. So that'll feel good. It'll feel good to edit this. You know, I've just been taking everything in. Now it's time to increase the output. As for other media, I think I had said, but I finished God of the Woods by Liz Moore. Loved it. It's kind of a summer story because it takes place at a summer camp, but because it's a little mysterious, it does feel nice for this time of year. And then I just finished Manifest by Roxy Nafusi, which if you are looking for a step-by-step guide for manifestation, this is a great beginner book. It's so digestible and it's a great starting place. And then also I watched Monsters on Netflix with the Menendez brothers. And I want to watch the docu-series as well because the Netflix was much more like, we're painting options for you. We're not going to tell you what happened. We're just going to give you some options. And I want to see from the Menendez brothers' perspective how that went. And that's all I have. Let's get into your questions. I can't wait to answer them. My Instagram handle is Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, just like the name of this podcast. So let me see what you guys asked. Was I just invited to... Wow, I was just invited to another Halloween party. This is not this... Okay, the way that I hope that that came across was not like, oh my God, I'm so fucking popular. I just mean that everyone's having a Halloween party. Everybody's having a Halloween party. Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday, Monday to everybody. Everybody. I've never seen a city care about this. And you know what they don't care about? They don't care about St. Patrick's Day. If you go to Boston, you go to Michigan, even DC, St. Paddy's Day, huge weekend. Even New York. Here in LA, crickets. Halloween, though? Oh my god, it's 2 weeks long. Oh, and I didn't even say what I was dressed up as at the Halloween party. I went as King Kylie. So I wore that sexy little leather outfit that Outkast gave me for the murder mystery party. And then I had the perfect King Kylie wig at home. Great costume. I took selfies with everybody. My camera roll in the morning was endless selfies with every single person that was at that party. Okay, now let's get into the questions. But first, a word from today's sponsors. Y'all already know what's up. The thing that we do not ever want to experience is the vicious week before our period when you start feeling like you could crawl out of your skin gets covered in pimples, mind you, the cravings, my God, could eat your own hand. But now it's easier than ever to manage PMS with Estro Control. Estro Control is a formula developed by Happy Mammoth, a supplement company dedicated to making women's lives easier. Estro Control contains science-backed herbal extracts that help support hormone health, especially in women who suffer from PMS. The way that Estro Control eases PMS is quite interesting. The ingredients help support the liver, and that's where our hormones get processed, especially estrogen. So when the estrogen isn't being processed well in the liver, women may start having PMS, spots on their skin, getting the cravings, feeling low and down all of a sudden. So Estro Control was created to help women feel like themselves throughout the whole month, because PMS, it can rob a week of your life every month, and that's so not fair. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off. Just use the code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, at checkout. That's Happy Mammoth, HappyMammoth.com, and use the code Lexi for 15% off today. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone, but with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults aged 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meet, R-E-J-O-Y-N.com. The U.S. healthcare system has a history of blaming weight as some type of moral failing on a patient. You deserve a doctor that's going to listen, and they are dedicated to providing holistic, patient-centered care with the goal of transforming how your weight management is approached. Mochi Health uses science-backed medications, including GLP-1s like Ozempic and generic compounded versions. Mochi is a telehealth platform that connects patients seeking medication-based weight loss treatment with board-certified doctors and dietitians to help them determine the best treatment options to accomplish their goal. Their program is completely virtual, meaning you can access their services anywhere in the United States and will be meeting with their team online. With Mochi, their dietitians work hand in hand with your medication to provide a personalized nutrition plan that fits your lifestyle. You can reach your weight loss goals with science-backed, FDA-approved GLP-1 medications, get support from real doctors, and guidance from registered dietitians. Their goal is to help with making easy and sustainable changes to achieve results. Get started today at joinmochi.com. That's M-O-C-H-I, and use code Lexi, L-E-X-I-E, to receive $40 off. Thank you to Mochi Health for sponsoring today's episode. I love this question. Yasmin Garby asked my favorite way of creating content. My favorite way of creating content is in real time. I love not having a script. I love content that is free-flowing. Content maybe is a limiting word for how I'm describing this, but my creative process, I like doing it in real time. So free-flowing journaling. I like this podcast because I'm not going off of a script, and that is really fun for me. And same thing with vlogging. I like when I turn on the camera and then I see what happens, and then I can maybe make a story out of it through editing. That's my favorite way. Maybe this has worked against me, because I think of something like my TikTok, where that is absolutely thoughtless. Very, very rarely am I thinking of something ahead of time where I have a content calendar. I don't know why I'm saying very rarely. I've never in, maybe I am lying, so we'll say very, very rarely. I can't think to memory right now if I've ever had a content calendar where I say, on Monday, you're going to film a closet tour. On Tuesday, you're going to do a shoe collection. On Wednesday, you're going to do a makeup routine. On Thursday, you're going to share journaling prompts, which could be really beneficial and could be something worth trying. but I've always been a seize the moment in real time. Okay, I want to donate these books to the lending library. Let's sit down, show all the books, review them, and then show the lending library they're in. And that was a process that all happened within 30 minutes. And that's my favorite way to do things because I get to use the motivation as soon as the inspiration strikes. I do have the discipline to edit later because you don't really need inspiration to edit. I guess you could, but I get inspiration to film and then I film. But then editing feels more like the discipline that's required with it. And those are a really nice balance. Open to other things, but that's my favorite way. Finchie Boo asked, do you trust in the universe? 100%. 100%. I know that it can be difficult because our human brains might not fully be able to grasp the strength and power and magic around us. But if I get to choose to believe or not, I am choosing to believe. Oh, this is an interesting question. This is about friendship. Gracie asked, how do I handle friendships with people who require a lot of attention, both good and bad? Yeah, those are my friends that are more outer circle to me. Truthfully, I don't have too many inner circle friends that require a lot of attention. I have one friend in mind that maybe requires a lot of attention, but that's mostly when they're feeling low in their self-worth or low in their self-esteem. And then they require this outside validation. So if you can, in subtle ways, build them up, help build their confidence, help reinforce their confidence, they will require less attention. Because yes, we all love attention to a certain degree. Oh my God, I didn't even tell you about my car. Talk about attention. I'll save the story of my car for the Patreon as well. Let's stick to your questions. Okay, let me make a mental note of that. And by a mental note, I'm going to physically write it down. Patreon, drugging myself, car attention. We all like a certain degree of attention, but there are certain people where you know that in a group setting, they need eyes on them, they need ears on them, they want everyone to see them, and it's coming out of a place of insecurity. And if we can help our friends be more secure in themselves and more confident in themselves, they will require less attention from you. That would be my first piece of advice. Gabby Chillout asked, what's one thing you're determined to do before the year is over? You know what? I was going to say a road trip, but I did that and I'm feeling really good about that. So we need to come up with something new. I was spending my summer at home and I was looking to travel and I was looking to be adventurous in the fall. And I feel like that is in full force. I was also thinking of a physical activity. I've been doing Training Mate, which is a workout class here. They might have it in other places, I'm not sure. But it's around Los Angeles, and that I've been doing to supplement my lack of rock climbing since my ankle sprain. Boring. But I want a fun activity. Training Mate is fun, but not in the same way that rock climbing was. Rock climbing felt like play. Training Mate very much feels, you know what it feels like? It feels like sports practice. I feel in my true athleticism, whereas rock climbing felt like recess, and I have been dying to go horseback riding, but just recently, I've been really craving to ice skate, and if I can find an ice skating rink in LA, there has to be an indoor one, because, I mean, don't people do that? I know that maybe just because I was from the East Coast, I don't know, they have to have one. I want to go ice skating, and then I've also been working on the back end towards a second job, and I'm training for it. So I want to finish that training and start officially working by the end of this year. Oh, guys, it feels so good to talk to you. I know that you're not verbally here, but I know that you're energetically here. And just know that when you're listening, I can tell. I can feel it. And I love when you guys message me on Instagram. I love it. I love it. And I love when you guys post where you're listening to the podcast from. If you're sewing, if you're in your art studio, if you're on a walk somewhere beautiful, I love it. Next question, right on theme. Serena asks, how are you so happy? How am I so happy? A lot of it is a conscious choice to look at the bright side. Tragedy, hardship, adversity is inevitable. We are all going through this life and we are not getting out alive without going through hardship, adversity, suffering. That is going to happen. That is inevitable. However, there are plenty of people that go through this life only suffering, only allowing themselves to exist in this really heavy, miserable spot. And I know that life is going to have misery, and I will not allow myself to make myself any more miserable than I have to be. And it begins as a practice, but then it becomes innate and natural in you. I definitely wasn't always pulling up to my parking spot and noticing the hummingbird and then proceeding to give it love, send a video to my friend saying, "Say hi, look at this little hummingbird." No, but there's so much beauty that is ignored all the time. And what a pity that is to ignore all of the beautiful moments that exist within this world. And those are things within ourselves, things within others, or just the natural world, you know? Like right now, I am wearing the cutest little track pants that are pink terry cloth, and they're so soft on my legs, and I love it, and I feel so good wearing them. So yeah, that's gonna make me happy. If I have sweatpants that make my butt look saggy and they're kind of itchy or they don't fit right, those are getting donated. Life is too short. Why would I not want to feel cute? You know, if I'm sitting outside and it's so gorgeous and the sun is on my skin and it feels so beautiful, but then clouds come and it gets really cold. Instead of going inside and being like, it's too cold out there, I'm going to go inside. I'm going to grab some socks. I'm going to grab a sweatshirt and I'm going to go back out there and enjoy the beautiful, crisp air. I'm going to say yes to things I want to do and no to things I don't. I will not make myself any more miserable than I have to be. I will live this life and make a conscious effort to notice the beauty. On a way, way, way different note, Millie Mullins asks, "What's your stance on feet pics?" If a man came up, or a woman, if someone came up in my DMs and they said, "I want to pay you hundreds of dollars for your feet, take photos of your feet, put your feet on your bed, put your feet around a bottle of lotion, I don't care, have it, send me the money." My friend Kaylee and I were talking about this on Sunday after crying over Coco, insisting that she watches it, and I don't think she did, because I know that she would have said Coco wrecked me if she watched it. I also told Kami to watch it. I'm like, you have to. But people don't like being told what to do, so that one might take a little bit of time. I was telling her about how this guy, dad, if you're listening to this, Aunt Lisa, Aunt Paige, Lola, any family members, please skip over this part. You do not need to know this, okay? There was this guy one time, and he really liked my feet. So when we would hook up, he was all in there. He was sucking the toes. He was massaging the feet. He loved them. And you know what? It didn't bother me. I'm like, if that turns you on, great. It turns me on to know that I'm turning you on, you know? Kaylee's like, yeah, I feel so neutrally about my feet. If someone's into them, I'm not grossed out by them. Have your way. Tori Ridge asked, if you were given a chance to own your own business, what would it be? Cosmetics, clothes, etc. If I had a chance to own a business, I would want it to be experiential. I would want it to be a retreat. I would want it to be a hotel. I would want it to be a music festival. I would want it to be a summer camp, something where we are out and about and interacting with each other, and there's a whole physical, environmental vibe that's being curated. That's what I want. I want a full experience. This is an interesting question because I have to think about it. Miss Nika Story asked, how do you balance living in the moment versus planning for the future? I tend to plan about 6 months to a year in advance. I think it's nice to plan a little bit seasonally, a little bit annually, and then a little bit weekly. But then when it comes to experiencing those things, allow me to take my time. So for example, I'm going on a road trip, but before I went on the road trip, I would be planning for the road trip with Camille. But then when I'm on the road trip, I'm allowing myself to exist in that space. That's what I'm doing. And maybe that feels vague. So more specifically, if I know that I need to shower, wash my face, brush my teeth, put on my pajamas, I'm giving myself that time to actually just be present in the moment and notice the water on my head, to feel the body gel on my hands as I'm rubbing my arms, to feel the lotion in between my fingers as I'm massaging it on my legs. I hope that this isn't too sensual right now, but, you know, to pay attention when you're putting the toothpaste on the toothbrush, to pay attention when you're sitting down to put on your socks, to put on your pajamas. It is so beautiful. Talk about romanticizing your life. All you have to do is slow down. If you want a more romantic life, take your time opening the car door. There's no need to rush. That is how you be present in the moment. And you can still plan ahead. You know, you can be showering, feeling the water on your skin, but then also know you have these career goals. They don't have to interact with each other, actually. And I think that might be where a lot of people get confused. Freckles Storms asks, how do you overcome the fear of starting something new? I love starting something new. Starting something has never been a fear of mine, and neither is finishing. You know what the hard part is? It's that sticky middle. And that's a personal realization that I'm having. But the more you do things, the easier it is to do things, the less big of a deal it is. For example, if you go on 5 dates a week, going on a date is just another date. It's just another Tuesday. Whereas if you have not been on a date in 3 years, you going on a date is going to be terrifying, so scary. So the more you do, the more you can do. And then where my head was going, in case anyone was wondering, I will decide, oh, I want to do the artist way, for example. Oh my God, week 1 and 2, I am feeling so inspired and motivated. And I know that once I get to week 10 and 11, I'm like, all right, we're at that finish line. We can do this. It's the weeks like 4 and 5 and 6. And you're like, oh my God, it's the second lap of the mile. It's the second lap of the mile. And if you don't know what I mean by that, I ran the mile in high school. And for most miles on a track, it's 4 laps. Your first lap, you're at the beginning. You have the excitement of the mile has just started. And when you're on the third lap, you're like, okay, we're past the halfway mark. We got to keep the pace going. Let's start to increase it. And then the fourth lap, you're like, full burst. Let's go. Give it your all. But the second lap, you don't have that same excitement that you had during the first lap, and you're not halfway yet. And that's the part that I have the most issue with. Stella Luna asks, thoughts on vaping? You know what? I've never been a vapor. I have very few friends that vape. I don't know, they just miss my specific age. I was born in 1996. I'm sure there's people my age that vape, but so many of my friends just never got into it. I even have bought a vape for myself one time, and I just never stuck. And that's awesome. Morgan Lombard, who's your favorite cousin? Morgan, you're one of my best friends in the whole world, and you're my cousin. I love you with my whole heart, and I know that you always ask who's your favorite cousin in my Q&As. It's you, and everything in me wants to be like, it's Eric, it's Jack, it's not you, it's Aaron, it's Carrie, it's Jensen, it's Chandler, Morgan, it's everybody but you. But I don't need to do that, because the truth is that it's you, and I love you so much. Okay, now if you guys want to hear the story of me drugging myself, once again, family, this is a cautionary tale, all right? I'm advising this as a cautionary tale. This is me being an idiot. Ugh. So if you want to hear, keep listening. And if not, I will talk to you guys next week. And thank you so much. I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. XOXO, Lexi.